This is the Fantasy Football Tank Podcast with Mark Denton, Wablo, and here's your host, Alfredo Brown. Wablo, Pablo, Pablo and Wablo, together again.
Welcome, Fantasy Football Tank, Episode 6, Week 11. Here with you, this is a Saturday morning, November 16th. I'm your host, Alfredo Brown. Sitting here with Mark Denton.
The dudes!
Well, yeah, you are the dude. With Pablo Martinez as well. He's our own personal fantasy trash man.
Yo.
He doesn't like the name, though. Not at all.
It's all right.
So feel free, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the FF Tank. You can follow myself on Twitter or Instagram at Alfredo A. Brown. And follow Mark Denton on Twitter or Instagram
at
Dark underscore Menton.
Do it.
So every single week here, what we're going to do is before we get into everything, just tell you who we are, what's going to be on the show. So for those listening in for the first time, just going to continue to introduce us so you guys can get used to who we are. We call ourselves the Fantasy Football Tank because we're just a group of friends, normal guys, come together each week to make our own little think tank of fantasy football, beautiful, beautiful knowledge. Now, we have some well-thought-out reasonings behind everything that we say and everything we do here on the show, and we do our own research throughout the week. We pull up the stats, we track the news, we debate with one another, and honestly, it all goes to you guys just to give you some good fantasy football advice here in the show. So we're going to be giving you guys our shredders of the week. These are the guys that maybe not in the top five of their rankings right now, but have the potential to finish as a top five player at their position. We're going to get into our tank ranks, give you guys with the good and bad matchups, some streamers and the most added players at each position, give you a little analysis on that. Get into our waste management segment, what to do with those guys sitting at the end of the bench, or maybe those starters that you finally need to take out of your lineup. And then Denton's going to give you his dope DFS plays.
Dude,
indeed. And then lastly, we're going to be going into your questions and our answers. But first, let's throw it back to Thursday.
Throwback to Thursday.
Awesome. So the Steelers at the Browns. Browns defeated the Steelers in basically every single way possible.
Well,
with the football, with helmets, with punches.
Everything.
With everything.
Before I go into deep stats.
Deep.
Do you know how many picks Mason Rudolph threw on Thursday?
Oh, good. I think it was four.
Okay, well, it's six. Do you know why it's six?
Give me the math.
Okay, one interception, two interception, three interception, four interception.
I feel like this is Sesame Street.
Helmet got intercepted. Punch got intercepted. Six.
That's a lot of interceptions.
Browns defense did really well.
Yeah.
Not so much for Myles Garrett, but.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, this happened. The whole Myles Garrett helmet fiasco happens with 11 seconds left in the game, a game that they're winning 21-7.
I don't even know how to break it down.
Yeah, like there's not. It was just a nightmare.
CTE?
CTE?
Nah, maybe. Myles Garrett's young.
We don't make those jokes.
Could be.
No. Stop. Stop. Anyways, the Browns, they actually had themselves a nice little game here. Nice little game. Baker Mayfield, 17 of 32 for nearly 200 yards, had two touchdowns, no interceptions. And Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, these guys look like they can share the workload in the backfield. I mean, Nick Chubb is getting the carries. Kareem Hunt's getting the catches. They seem to be figuring it out with these two talented running backs. Chubb looking like the non-PPR guy, and Hunt definitely looking like the good PPR choice. He had eight targets, six receptions, 46 yards. He's basically a slot receiver that's going to get some carries.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is, I mean, Kareem Hunt has, this has probably surprised all of us, right? We thought he was going to be more of a backup running back to Nick Chubb, and instead he's like an Austin Eckler, which I think, you know, maybe that's a good way to view him moving forward. Maybe it's not, you know, I think Kareem Hunt should be getting more carries. You know, he's really, obviously also really good in the running game, so.
I mean, wow, you saw Chubb, 27 carries.
Amazing.
27, almost as many carries as your boy Joe Mixon.
Denton. Yeah.
Almost.
Almost.
But
nobody
there yet.
Gets,
not
nobody
there yet.
Gets more carries
nobody.
Than Joe.
Nobody.
The other thing is also, this was a game script scenario, right? You don't think Nick Chubb is going to get that many carries in regular matchups with the Browns because they're usually not destroying teams like they're doing with that, like they just did with the Steelers.
But you know his volume rate is high, so yeah. You know he's going
to
get a bunch of carries.
He's going to continue to be an RB1. Kareem Hunt himself is going to be probably a flex. Maybe,
deep flex, yeah.
Yeah, a deep flex for PPR. Well, not, I wouldn't say a deep flex. I think he's probably in, what, the top 30 for running backs on a weekly basis in PPR.
Fair.
Which means he's startable, low-end RB2 or a flex. Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry. These guys continue to just be very mediocre, but, you know, just putting up some kind of numbers. Pops, I know you're angry after seeing that Odell Beckham down on the 1 yard line.
Oh my God.
I know. I saw on WhatsApp Pablo typing and then it just went away after the touchdown.
Yep.
Was taken away. Yep. I saw it.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know, he was upset.
He was ready to talk smack and then, nope.
No smack.
Yeah. So I'm Denton and I are playing against each other and he's got Landry. I've got OBJ and it's been fun so far.
You sound like you're very enthusiastic and excited about having OBJ on your team.
I'm really disappointed. I've had him all year. You know the tried and true.
You should be used to it by now then.
Ha ha.
He almost had the touchdown. Almost.
Almost got it.
The rule that, you know, start your studs, you know, like it's how do you not start your studs?
What do you do when your studs suck? Well, we're going to talk more about that for my team cuz
you have some great studs.
Got some dope studs. Looking at the other guys, Jarvis continues with 7 targets, 4 catches, 43 yards, and a touchdown.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah. You picked them up midway through the season. I don't know how Jarvis Landry ends up on the waiver wire in our league. And then looking at the Steelers, really just I don't even want to say the numbers. I'm just going to tell you, stay away from the Steelers. Maybe get Jalen Samuels if he's the for sure starter that week and James Conner is out.
Your boy.
For example, I have James Conner in a league, and I cannot go without Jalen Samuels moving forward. I have to have them both on my team. So basically, that's it when it comes to Steelers. Don't play them. But for the Browns, they do look like they could have a few nice matchups coming up. The next 4 weeks, they play the Dolphins. They play the Steelers again. They play the Bengals and the Cardinals.
Wow.
The Browns have a nice little favorable schedule going into the fantasy playoffs here. And that could be, you know, that could be the move that helps someone a lot going forward. A guy maybe like a Pablo, who's been sitting here dying with OBJ slowly killing his team.
Yes.
And all it takes is just a few Cardinals and Bengals and Dolphin weeks to make you get that push to the playoffs. Huh?
I hope so. But like at the same time, Buffalo had an amazing schedule and they didn't do what you expected, you know? So
this is a fair point. Let's take a look at the injuries and updates for the week. Guys that you should be expecting to be in. But once again, I say this, you know, take this with a grain of salt. Listen, the injuries can always change right before the game. So the guys that are looking towards being in: Le'Veon Bell, Amari Cooper, Jack Doyle, Gerald Everett, Robbie Anderson, Josh Jacobs, Jordan Howard, AP, Adrian Peterson, Saquon Barkley. David Johnson is going to be on a bye week this week, but the Cardinals will be playing. And D.D. Westbrook in, Tevin Coleman in. Thank you, Pablo, for lightly laughing at my joke while Denton's not even paying attention. Tevin Coleman's in, and Ty Johnson is looking like he may be in after getting a concussion going through the protocol. Now, the guys that are looking like they are going to be out: Austin Hooper, Matt Breida, George Kittle, Adam Thielen, and Alshon Jeffrey. Now, there's going to be some guys that are game time decisions that you have to watch as you go throughout the week here, and that's Emmanuel Sanders, Marquise Brown,
Doo-doo.
David Montgomery. Yep, Doo-doo Brown, who the curse of the doo-doo, man. Like, this is every time that we have guys on waste management, at least 2 out of the 5 pop off and
minimum.
Just have great games.
Minimum.
That's why we put a lot of my team on waste management this week, but we'll get to that.
It's safe.
Safe, very safe. David Montgomery rolled his ankle on Wednesday, so we'll see how he does going into this game. They have said it's a true game time decision. He did not practice on Thursday. He was limited on Friday. And then Will Fuller also with the hamstring. We'll see how he gets worked into the game for the Texans. Now, updates: Darren Sproles done for the year. The Eagles have gone and signed Jay Ajayi. That's a name that we're familiar with being Dolphins fans. Any excitement there with Jay Ajayi?
No.
Nope.
Zero. Got it. Nick Foles back in as the starter for the Jags. What do we think that does for the Jaguars?
Nothing.
Nice. Hard-hitting stuff.
No playoff implications. It's going to be the same thing.
Got it.
Yeah, DJ Chark is going to do the same, I think.
You think he's going to do the exact same?
I actually tend to
think that there might be a little bit of a drop-off for Chark and a little bit of an uptick for DD.
I don't.
I think that what you see is, especially with younger quarterbacks that are inexperienced, like a Gardner Minshew, they find that one guy and latch onto him and hyper-target them, whereas I think that your kind of more experienced guys will spread the ball around. And I think we might see that. I'm not saying, like, bench DJ Chark or throw DD into your lineups right now, but I think there could be a nice little Nice little shift in the targets there. John Ross and Drew Locke, two guys, two different teams, both being activated off IR, could have some kind of fantasy implications. I mean, not necessarily the Drew Locke, but
my Bengals.
You know, if that changes anything for Cortland Sutton, we'll see. But then Denton, your Bengals, maybe right. Getting John Ross back,
and maybe AJ.
Yeah,
maybe.
Maybe.
But and then your boy Tyler Boyd,
and we're back.
Is I don't know. What happens to him then? If you get Ross, Green, all those guys back.
With a backup QB, not great.
Yeah, not just Joe Mixon's going to get 50 carries then.
Love it.
Exactly. Guys, let's jump into our Shredders of the Week.
Shredded, bro!
All right, my Shredder of the Week. Looking at Panthers wide receiver DJ Moore.
Pablo loves this.
Pablo hates him.
So happy.
And for some reason, Pablo just hates guys for no apparent reason. We were talking about this before the show. We're like, hey, yeah, my guy's DJ Moore. And he's like, oh, I hate him. Everyone's been saying DJ Moore's so great. And he just, ugh. Like, what's that's my Pablo voice, by the way. Like, what's your reason for hating DJ Moore?
I just don't trust the Carolina passing offense, honestly. I think that all these guys are. You know, I think it's like a dice roll, and DJ Moore just happens to have been consistent. It's kind of, you know, it's funny. It's similar.
Wait, how is it a dice roll, but he's being consistent at the same time?
Okay, so.
That's right. That's right. I'm challenging you on this.
All right. All right. All right. So I don't trust. I mean, I'll go back to what I said before. I don't trust the passing attack in Carolina. I think that, you know, Josh Allen, he's going to be I just don't.
Well, it's Kyle Allen, so that's good.
Kyle. Well,
there's a lot of Allens. There's Brandon Allen, Josh Allen, Kyle Allen.
Yeah, Allen Robinson.
It's
yeah.
In fairness. Yeah. Well, that's different.
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I don't trust him. But, I mean, hey, it's a fair pick. You look at the numbers. He's been consistent. You're right. So I'd lose. I defer to you.
That was... good discussion.
So give me why he's your Shredder offer.
So DJ Moore, listen, the Falcons give up the sixth most PPR points to wide receivers. Okay. Michael Thomas just killed these guys for 13 receptions and 152 yards. I'll repeat that. 13 catches and 152 yards for Michael Thomas against the Falcons. Enter DJ Moore. Not as good as Michael Thomas, but
nope.
He's consistently getting 9 or more targets over his last 4 games. He's the obvious go-to guy for Kyle Allen. Kyle. And he's had over 100 yards in each of his last 2 games. So, I mean, it's just another guy where opportunity, talent, and kind of just the track record here is meeting with a very bad opponent. He hasn't had himself a touchdown since week 3, so I know that's kind of a deterrent, but I think he's due for a score, some double-digit receptions, and another game over 100 yards for DJ Moore. Pablo, hit us with your Shredder.
All right, my Shredder of the Week.
He got so excited to say his Shredder.
So excited.
Yep,
so
yep,
excited.
Yep. It's Mr. Brian Hill.
Handcuff.
Yes, handcuff.
Slap a pair of handcuffs on him.
So, Brian Hill, you already saw what he can do when he gets touches. And in this case, he's going to be the workhorse again. No Devontae Freeman and possibly another week. Who knows for how long. So, hopefully you got him on waivers. He's a must start. He's going to shred it. The Panthers are were really, really bad against the Packers running backs last week. They gave up over 150 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. Carolina gives up the 4th most points to running backs in PPR, and we could see him have a really nice day as probably a running back too. So I trust Ryan Hill. I think you look at him like, you know, he's not a small guy like Devontae. Like I don't see him like breaking down or anything like that. He's a big dude.
I hope he doesn't break down after 1 game.
He runs well, yeah. No Ito Smith, no Devontae Freeman. He's an easy start.
Mark, give us your Shredder.
All right, Pablo. I'm going to try and be more excited because this is my guy.
Woo.
Joe Mixon.
Woo.
Oh my
50
gosh.
Carries.
Shredder. I know you hate it, but you hate everything.
Jesus.
So this is the only week I can pick as my Shredder because he has a good matchup. So last week he had 30 carries against Baltimore and over 100 yards rushing. He is Ryan Finley's security blanket. He is going to get all the dump-offs. He's going to get all the carries. Not to mention, the Raiders are bottom 3 against pass-catching running backs. He's going to get a receiving touchdown, and he's going to get a rushing touchdown this week. Count it, Pablo. Joe Mixon.
Count all 30 of the carries.
Good luck with that.
Count all of it. Count 30 carries.
Count them all.
He's going to get 50 carries this week. Hey,
his best week was 17 fantasy points last week.
Okay. He's gonna
and he shredded.
That. With 30-something touches?
Okay, he's going to go.
He's going to get 40 touches.
Boom.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Good luck.
Oh my gosh, I love it. I love Pablo's just irrational hatred for some players.
Dude,
but
this one
I kind of lean towards though. I kind of have to agree with him. Like, I'm not excited about Joe Mixon. I think Mark
so excited.
I think Mark's just taking a shot
this
in the dark
is,
here.
No, this is the week.
He's going to have
sure, yeah.
30
the
carries
week for him to get 40 carries and 42 yards.
Yes.
Yep. It's going to happen. All right, let's take a look at our QB matchups.
I'm going to win.
We got our good, our bad, and our streamers for this week. Now, the good matchups, we're looking at Dak Prescott going up against the Detroit Lions, who are 27th against fantasy quarterbacks. Over the last four games, the Lions have given up over 1,100 yards passing and 13 touchdowns to the QB position. That's a lot of touchdowns in four games to give up. The Lions are absolutely awful against the passing game. Definitely expect Dak to have himself a nice game. Now, the brother slash cousin to Kyle Allen and Brandon Allen, Josh Allen.
That's not his name.
Oh,
What's his name, Pablo?
So sorry. What's his name?
His name's White Macadamia.
Oh, yeah. White Macadamia. Going up against the Miami Dolphins, who are 26th against the quarterback. Dolphins have given up at least 200 passing yards and a touchdown to each of the last four QBs they've faced. And listen, that was Brian Hoyer, Sam Darnold, Mason Rudolph. Oh, and then this guy, White Macadamia himself.
Zing.
He had over 200 yards and two touchdowns last time that he played the Dolphins with 32 yards rushing. He's just the whole Bills team. We were talking about this before the show. They're just so boring and so safe, and you can kind of just play them all and know exactly what they're going to do. They're going to be just middle of the road, milk toasty, just garbage.
This is a good week. If you
garbage, but good. Like, it's good garbage.
If you have Russell Wilson on bye, Josh Allen is a good safe pick to get you 18, 23 points, right around that ballpark against the Dolphins. Love it.
Denton, tell us all about our next quarterback.
Oh, famous Jameis. Ooh. Playing the Saints. The
crab legs.
Against the Saints. So, Saints have been volatile against the QB position, while Jameis himself has been a very volatile QB.
Volatile. Great word. Oof.
He's
used it twice.
Two TDs against them last time they played, and ding, ding, no Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, no Marshawn Lattimore. Yeah.
That's probably the key word for this. So you know he's going to be throwing the ball heavily with Godwin and with Mike Evans. So
OJ Howard looks to be making a comeback.
I was waiting for you to say that. I was waiting for you in your tight end fury.
Yes,
coming
stop.
At me.
I can totally see, like, so he burned me. I drafted him in a lot of places. He burned me, but I really do think that, you know, that he's going to start getting more more attention, and I think Crab Legs is going to have a great day against New Orleans.
Pablo, you picked up this guy in our league, this next quarterback.
Yeah.
And
every league.
You're starting him.
Oh, yeah. I'm starting him everywhere. I'm going to either live or die by Derek Carr. Like, I'm going to make the playoffs in four leagues or not make the playoffs in four leagues
That's usually what happens. You either make the playoffs or you don't.
Yeah, but, like, it's going to be all or nothing here. Like, I'm starting him everywhere for the next 3 weeks. He's got great matchups. Over the last 3 weeks, he's also done really well. So, hey, you know, according to that logic.
Ipso facto.
Yes.
Derek Carr, best quarterback in the league.
Exactly.
Got it.
The Bengals, they've allowed an average of 290 passing yards and two touchdowns a game. So that alone, you know, gives you Derek Carr's floor anyway. So for this week in particular, I view him as a must start. He's thrown for nearly 800 yards over the last three games and had six touchdowns. This is a pretty easy play. And like I mentioned, he's got two more good matchups in the next 2 weeks also.
Easy peasy. So you actually face this quarterback conundrum in your league. Derek Carr or Kyler Murray?
Yeah. So this may come off as too bold, but I dropped Kyler Murray in all my leagues.
Yeah, we disagreed with that heavily.
I dropped him in all my leagues for Derek Carr. Bold move, I'm sure, but honestly, I trust Derek Carr with his schedule, and Kyler's got a rough one. I mean, he has a good match or decent matchup against the Rams, but besides that, he's got San Francisco, then he's got a bye, then he's got a few other hard matchups. So I think Kyler Murray is a drop, even though he's been great so far.
Yep. Looking at the bad matchups, we got Kirk Cousins going up against Denver. The Broncos have only allowed 3 passing touchdowns over the last 5 games that they've played. They've only allowed 2 QBs all season to throw for more than 250 yards. It just does not look like a good matchup for Kirk Cousins. Carson Wentz is the other guy going up against the Patriots. Listen, New England has only allowed 3 passing touchdowns all year. Even the big Lamar Jackson game where he had all that production, he just had 163 yards passing and 1 touchdown. A lot of his production came on the ground. We're not going to see that from Carson Wentz in the same way. Carson Wentz himself has not been very good. He hasn't had a game with multiple passing touchdowns since week 6.
Yikes.
He's not that guy that we saw a while back that it's looked crazy. Like an MVP caliber player. He's not. That's it.
Yeah, it's nuts though. Like you would have never expected that. He's but another thing is it because of you know, his bad performance, or do you think it has also to do with like the receivers? He doesn't have, you know, he's lost receivers. Darren Sproles hasn't been around as much. Like, do you think that's also part of this?
I think it's a little bit of all of it, right? I think that, you know, you've had the struggles because he looked better when DeSean Jackson was out there on the field, but at the same time, I mean, he's got Alshon out there, and things have not been going well with Alshon. He's had Zach Ertz. Things are not going well with Zach Ertz. They tried to put Miles Sanders more into the game plan, and it's been just kind of meh. So I think that, yes, there is. I really think, and this might be just a weird take, but I really think that DeSean Jackson was like that missing key that was like helping that offense kind of run. He could take the top off, and he was a nice security guy, ironically, not Ertz or Alshon for once. And I think that without him, Wentz just does not seem like himself.
You know what the solution is? Jay Ajayi.
Oh, Jay Ajayi. Not.
Nit.
So our last guy here is the one we were just talking about, Kyler Murray, going up against the Niners this week, who are second against the quarterback. Listen, he had a nice game against the Niners, but a lot of that production came on the 80-something yard play by Andy Isabella. And like, that was not a Kyler throwing him open. That was the dude was wide open, and then he took it the rest of the way with some nice moves. So he may have himself a nice performance. He may run the ball, but if you have him, I think I agree with Pablo on this. You play a guy like Derek Carr over Kyler Murray.
Yep. Fredo, I got something for you.
Ooh, what you got for me?
It's court streamers.
Wait, where was the excitement from last week? Where was that? You're like, it's streamers.
Yeah. So, we've got to stream Jimmy G this week.
Jimmy G.
He's like, yeah, he's the Cardinals.
Jimmy Hansen.
They got destroyed by Jimmy G and the Niners 2 weeks ago.
And his good
Jimmy
looks.
Had 317 yards and 4 touchdowns after
and a dimple chin.
After a season of just, you know, being terrible, he completely went bananas. So I'm sure he'll do it again. And while he may not throw 4 touchdowns, especially if Sanders is out, he should still have a great game against the Cardinals defense, giving up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks.
Now, let's take a look at our running backs. Okay, we've got some guys with some really good matchups this week. I think Melvin Gordon is going to just crush it out there. Going up against the Chiefs, who are really, really bad against running backs. Okay, last week, it was the same Chiefs defense that gave up 188 yards rushing and 2 touchdowns to Derrick Henry. So, I mean, like, listen, Melvin Gordon is kind of in that same mold as Derrick Henry. They're the big guys. They're the bruising back. Yep. They're not going to kill you with their speed. And, you know, sometimes they get relatively involved in the passing game. But, I mean, if Derrick Henry can do it, Melvin Gordon should be able to do it. So I expect a big game for him as well. We've seen the only way to try to beat the Chiefs is to control the flow of the game by running the ball. Damian Williams, same other side of the ball here. Damian Williams going up against the Chargers. Chargers are not good stopping the run. So LeSean McCoy out. Williams had 24 touches last week against Tennessee. So you know the workload is going to be there, right? The Chargers have given up a touchdown to the running back position in 5 of their last 6 games. Yep. It's basically almost guaranteed that Damian Williams is going to get plenty of work and a goal line carrier too. A few opportunities at that end zone.
Yep, and our last good running back matchup is Devin Singletary versus the Dolphins. The Dolphins are 26th against the run. Devin Singletary, he's outsnapped Frank Gore 43-19. He's the obvious starter, so you know the work's going to be there. He's getting a good amount of targets in the passing game, and he might have, you know, a chance for a touchdown. So I think he's a must. He's a must start.
Dude,
great matchup.
He got some touchdowns vultured last week.
Yeah,
by Josh Allen.
Yeah, yeah, he did, and hopefully that, you know, I could see that continuing. But regardless, I think he's a safe start.
Now we got some guys with some just awful, awful matchups and honestly just awful situations.
We get to go into Alfredo's team. This is my favorite part.
I hate this so much. And guys, let me talk about both of these running backs because
over.
I absolutely just hate everything about it. First one is David Johnson going up against the 49ers.
And himself.
And he's going up against
his
everything. He's going up against his body. He's going up against Cliff Kingsbury. He's going up against Kenyon Drake. Like, David Johnson is not a playable fantasy asset in any format, in any size league.
Ever.
You could be in a 25-team triple PPR league of only running backs, and he's not playable right now. It's so upsetting and incredibly frustrating. I hate the fact that they're doing this hot hand approach and that David Johnson obviously is not going to have the hot hand. If you were watching last week's game, he just looks bad. He looks slow. He looks awkward. He looks clunky. He looks terrible. And they're saying he's not hurt. They're lying. Like, they're lying. He looks bad.
They're
so bad.
He's questionable every week.
Bold
of course
face
he's
lie.
Hurt.
Yeah.
I'll play.
My ankle. Okay, I'll do it. My ankle, my knee, my back, my ribs. I'll play.
All right, I'm in. Yeah. The other guy here that just has a bad matchup. And I'm doubling down for my disdain for this player.
Tripling at this point.
Tripling, quadrupling. Ronald Jones, a.k.a. Nojo.
Nojo. Right?
Listen, I don't care. I don't care what happened last week. Yes, he got, what was it, like 8 catches? Like, listen, okay. This is the same guy that had 7 catches all last season. Okay? This is the same running back who he and Peyton Barber had the same amount of touches. Peyton Barber had a better yards per carry. Okay? Ronald Jones got lucky with a touchdown. But just listen, he's horribly inefficient, guys. 2.6 yards per carry. Last week is just a crazy anomaly for him in the receiving game because he's never involved like that, whether it's the NFL or college. Even at USC, the most receptions he had was 14, and that was for a season. So the fact that he had this many catches in one game is an absolute anomaly. I don't see them continuing with that. It was a bad game by their standards for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. I fully expect the Bucs to get back into that. So slow down the Ronald Jones hype train, okay? I'm like right in the front, ready just to derail that thing and just never run that train again.
Look, I'm not a super fan
ever.
Of Rojo.
No, it's Nojo.
But he
it's,
does,
say it properly.
Rojo?
Nojo.
Nojo.
Nojo. Nojo.
Nojo. Okay. Well, he does fall in the end zone. I just don't like the matchup this week. I'm not playing him because against the Saints and they're good on the run. But in an easier matchup, I don't hate him as much.
Yeah, okay, so the Saints
not
are...
This, I'm with you on this week, bad matchup.
The Saints
playing.
Are good against the run. Ronald Jones is not good at running.
I'm not playing him this week.
So it doesn't matter who he plays. He's just he's not good at running.
Denton like just loves inefficient running back.
That's
Joe Mixon, Ronald Jones. We've got...
They fall in the end zone. They find a way to get in.
That's love what it is. Denton just, he loves inefficient running backs. You love handcuff running backs. And I love running backs that aren't likely to play in their games.
Love it.
All right, let's jump into Denton's DFS strategy for the week, sir. Tell us all about your DFS dude.
The dude.
Dude.
All right, my first dude. I'm going to go with Pablo Schrader on this
Ooh.
One. Brian Hill.
Ah,
not just
it.
Because of the volume he's going to get, but the price. He's so cheap, $4,800. Devontae's
great
only
value.
About $6,000.
Great value.
Super cheap.
Ooh.
Yes, he's going to have a lot of volume, a lot of carries. Play him. I expect him to be played a lot in DFS this week.
And your Bombo Combo for the week.
Bombo Combo.
All right, this might be obvious, but sometimes the obvious is just the moneymaker. You got to go with your big dogs, Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. Playing Tampa Bay Bucks, 32 against the pass. You know it's going to be a big, high-volume game. You know it's going to be an air raid. You got to go with the big dogs.
Remember
Brees
what happened.
And Thomas.
Remember what happened week one. The Bucks. It was crazy.
Yeah,
freaking crazy.
The Bucks. Yeah,
crazy.
The Bucks went buck wild. The Saints. The Saints also did their thing. That was an awesome game. So I
love
it.
And Bombo Combo.
Bombo Combo. And Mark, give us your dope DST play for this week.
Alrighty. We mentioned it earlier. We're gonna go Broncos versus the Vikings.
Hey.
We mentioned that there's only 2 QBs over 250 passing yards all season against the Broncos, and it's a very cheap value, $2,300. It's going to be your best bang for your buck, and it's going to be some volume out of that.
Best buck for your bang, too.
Bam.
Bam. Nice job. Thank you, sir. Some good DFS advice this week. Hopefully, you can win some money. Listen, right now, you're probably on your phone. Just do us a quick favor. Go on over to Twitter or Instagram, whatever your social media account is, okay? And follow us right now. Do it. At the FF Tank. Okay, at the FF Tank on Twitter or Instagram. We give you some great content throughout the week, okay? And from there, you can also be able to stream the shows, okay? So once you follow us on social media, go on to whatever your podcast app is, right? Click that, open it up, and subscribe to our show. Rate it, share it with your friends, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, or the iHeartRadio app. Listen, just get on there. We really appreciate the support. And with that being said, let's hop into our wide receivers for the week. Now, we got a few guys with some good matchups. We were talking about the Bills earlier and Josh Allen and how boring the Bills are. But this is a guy with a good matchup, John Brown, going up against the Dolphins. He's kind of got a safe floor every single week. Double-digit PPR points in every week except for one. I mean, he had 83 yards against the Dolphins last time and a touchdown.
Yep.
So, I mean, listen, outside of last week against Brian Hoyer, where the Dolphins secondary played out of their mind and had three interceptions, they had been giving up over 600 yards receiving and seven touchdowns to wide receivers over those previous four games before that. John Brown's just in a good situation, and he's a safe play. Our next guy, Courtland Sutton, going up against Minnesota. They're 28th against wide receivers, and the Vikings have allowed the second most fantasy points to wide receivers line up on the outside. Sutton lines up on the perimeter over 80% of the time. That's where his home is. He's going to do well going up against his Vikings defense. Last week, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, and Randall Cobb all caught touchdowns. Thing is pretty safe to assume, guys. Courtland Sutton probably going to score this week. He's a really safe play in a very good matchup.
I love this next one.
Ooh.
Ready?
Ooh.
Curtis, Samuel,
hey.
Pablo.
Two How first do you feel names. About that?
Eh.
Good matchup.
He gets lucky, but
three TDs in the last four games on just 15 catches. He might be the number two receiver because, you know, your other one that you hate, DJ Moore, number one. But against the Falcons, good matchup, great volume. Love it.
You love guys, the wide receivers with two first names.
I love it.
Curtis Samuel, Christian Kirk. I can't think of anyone else.
If I could think of more, I would say it.
Awesome.
But I love two first names.
Yeah. Christian Kirk. Oh, you said that, right?
Yes. You don't listen to the show.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
I'll keep chiming in with.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. When you think of guys that have. Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. That helps.
Michael Thomas. Yes.
I'm like, oh, yes. Michael Thomas. There we go. Our guys that have the bad matchups. Listen, the Lions wide receivers going up against Dallas this week. More specifically, Kenny Golladay, right? He's probably going to be shadowed by Byron Jones, who last week held Stephon Diggs just three catches on six targets, okay? Cornerback matchups are really important when you're looking at fantasy, and this is one that it's not a great one for the Lions receivers, okay? Something I will say is, and Pablo, you love this name, Chidobe Awuzie. Say that.
Say it for me.
Say it.
Ukwe Uye.
Close.
Close enough. Chidobe Awuzie. He's given up touchdowns in back-to-back weeks, so maybe, you know, you get lucky with one of these guys kind of, you know, getting a touchdown, but like that's really the only kind of luck you're looking at there. I have Marvin Jones, and I have him benched this week in favor of D.D. Westbrook.
D.D.
D.D. The other guy, dude, Denton. This was your shredder last week. Christian Kirk.
Yeah, so remember, we're going based off matchups, Pablo.
Yeah.
So Christian Kirk last week, great matchup. This week against the 49ers, not so great. I mean, the last time they played the Cards, he had two catches, five targets. That's not efficient. Niners have allowed six fewest points to wide receivers lined up against the perimeter, and that's where Christian Kirk's going to be lined up. I don't like this pick this week.
Yeah, typically the Cards line up with Kirk on the outside, Fitzgerald in the slot, and listen, Richard Sherman's just been great against those outside receivers. Don't see a lot of success coming for Christian Kirk this week.
Yep.
But if you're looking for a guy to stream, Pobs, who you thinking?
That's what I got for you. Wide receiver streamer. It's Mohamed Sanu. He's going up against Philly, 25th against the pass. You know their secondary is atrocious.
Trash.
So easy pick. You know Tom Brady's going to throw a lot, as usual, regardless of whether they're winning or not. So you can trust Sanu. He had 14 targets in week 9, and the Patriots have had a week to prepare.
Almost as many carries as Joe Mixon.
Yeah. A whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
And the Patriots have had a week to prepare. after their loss to the Ravens 2 weeks ago. So you better believe they're going to come out firing and won't have mercy. So Mohamed Sanu, easy pick against the Eagles. I don't think there's any – I mean, I don't expect 14 targets again, but I think that he's a very easy play. They're treating him like Edelman out there.
Yeah, I agree. No mercy going into this week's game against the Eagles. The Patriots coming off that loss to the Ravens. Yeah, they've definitely had time to game plan for this one. And that brings us next to our tight end matchups. We got our good, bad, and streamers. Denton, give us the good.
Oh, yes. Jared Cook. Remember, we've been talking about the Saints and Tampa Bay game a lot. It's going to be high volume. So Jared Cook, 31st against, well, Tampa Bay's 31st against the pass. He looks really good in his return last week in week 10 against the Falcons. 6 receptions on 10 targets. High volume game. Overall, tight ends have had at least 50 yards or a touchdown against Tampa Bay. Do it.
They are not good against the tight end.
At all. Other ones would be Gerald Everett. This is Pablo's boy from like 5 weeks ago.
Gerald I ever wanted.
Yeah, last week, Everett had 8 receptions on 12 targets for 68 yards. With Brandon Cooks out, Jared Goff struggling, Everett will be the safety blanket. The Bears have given up double-digit PPR fantasy points to tight ends each of the last 5 games. So you know what? Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Pops, give us the bad.
We've got Darren Fells. He's matched up against the Baltimore Ravens. He's already a very touchdown-dependent tight end, as most tight ends are. And the Ravens have only given up 2 touchdowns to tight ends all year. So he's a coin flip. You know, he's a guy who you should only start him if you have to. That matchup's really bad. So, yeah, you know, he's also can just barely give you anything. Anyway, 1 catch, 2 catches, you just don't know what you're getting. So I would not trust Darren Fells against Baltimore. Next, we have Mike Gesicki.
Gesicki.
Versus Buffalo, they're first against the tight end. This is an easy sit. I mean, I wouldn't even.
I feel awful because last week we were saying, like, yeah, he could be streamable. Yeah, it's a good matchup.
Went from Mike Gesicki to Mike Gesicki.
Pretty quick. Yeah, I had him pretty quick.
Yeah. That was. Hey, it's. I was hopeful as a Dolphins fan, but hey.
Nope.
Heartbroken like usual. So, Buffalo, they've only allowed 1 touchdown to tight ends all season. So even worse than the Ravens. And they're allowing an average of just 6 PPR points to tight ends per game. So, Gesicki, another bad matchup.
This one hurts you.
This one hurts because you love him.
Yeah, I love is a strong word.
But you really, really, really don't like him.
Orange so, juice, Howard.
Here's the thing: I loved him during the draft. Then he broke my heart during the season. But I still deep down inside, yeah, I still do love him. So. Yeah, O.J. Howard versus New Orleans. I think he's going to make a comeback. It took a matchup with the Cardinals and Cameron Brate to be out for O.J. to finally score. And the Saints are one of the better teams in the league against tight ends. So I expect the Bucs offense to go more through Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, the usual, than last week when they went through Howard and Ronald Jones.
That was a pretty weird week for the Bucs, right? Ronald Jones and O.J. Howard being like your main offensive weapons when you got the 2 of the best receivers in the league right there at your disposal. Like, that's kind of an outlier.
You've got the best receiver in the league? Yeah.
Which one are you saying is the? Please don't.
Obviously, Chris Godwin. Come on.
Ugh.
Come on. Come on.
Gross.
Like I said, I'm buying his jersey.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, the looks are going to go to the big dogs there. So I don't trust him. I don't trust OJ, even though I do think that he's going to have a bounce back for the rest of the season.
That's our second big dog reference here.
Big dog.
We didn't plan this at all. Denton, when he was talking about, yeah, you got to get the dog, get the ball to your big dogs.
Gotcha.
Play your big dogs.
Play them.
There's too many big dog references.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
So, anyway,
you can use it.
Hey, thank you. You're such a sweet guy. Let him use your big dogs. Now, the guy that you could stream at tight end this week, this one's kind of exciting. Because for those of you that maybe had George Kittle on your team, you can throw Ross Dwelly out there going up against the Arizona Cardinals.
Who?
Cardinals, Ross Dwelly. D-W-E-L-L-E-Y. Dwelly. Look him up.
Okay.
Going up against the Cardinals. And he's already been kind of part of their offense a little bit, even when Kittle's been out on the field. So Cardinals are dead last against the tight end position. And when they played the Cardinals in week 9, just a few weeks ago, Kittle and Dwelly combined for 10 catches, 108 yards, and a touchdown. All of that production is going to be available now for Ross Dwelly. There's no Kittle going into this game. I mean, they're trying to keep it hidden and mysterious and maybe he'll play. Like, listen, he's not going to play. They are preparing for him to not play. Arizona's given up 4 touchdowns in the last 5 games and 10 touchdowns overall to the tight end position all season. That is insanity. Ross Dwelly, a really nice sleeper, streamer, whatever you want to call him, at the tight end position. So that brings us to our most added players across the waiver wire this week. We'll go position by position. The quarterback position, Pobs, is Nick Foles. You actually said that you added this guy in your league, and you're excited about the prospect of him maybe doing well.
Yeah, I think he's a great add. I added him in a few places. He's got some good weapons. He's got DJ Chark, Westbrook, and he's got Leonard Fournette. So I trust Nick Foles. I think that he will be a notch above what Minshew was in his better games. So I think he's a great add for the playoffs. He's more of a stash, though.
Yeah, if you have him and he starts to play well, you get to that playoff schedule, it looks good. Tampa Bay, Chargers, Oakland, Atlanta, weeks 13 through 16. Some solid matchups for him. So
beautiful.
If he's
maybe not the Chargers, but
they haven't been that great against quarterbacks. Now Casey Hayward's good, but I mean, it's overall it's a pretty decent schedule for him going forward. So it's just a matter of seeing if he can produce. Now the running back that was most added across waivers, this one should be. I mean, it was Brian Hill, but we've talked so much about Brian Hill, he's just a few weeks as a rental. The guy who's next underneath him was Darius Geis, the running back for the Redskins.
I know.
You hate Darius Geis. You hate his. Maybe you don't hate him, but you hate his situation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's playing with a Dwayne Trashkin's offense for starters. AP has been given a ton of touches, and he's owned the backfield, and he still hasn't been like he may be flex worthy. You know, and on top of that, you know, it's not like. Darius Geis is good, but the situation sucks. And, you know, you're never going to trust him as a starter unless, like, AP goes down and all of a sudden maybe, you know, Trashkins is out, which it looks like they're keeping him all season.
Yeah, I kind of get the feeling that the people that have stashed him are hoping that he's going to be the guy that they drafted him to be. This guy with the second-round pedigree that, you know, they think they're going to give him 20 touches a game. That's not going to happen. I really just don't think they're just going to be like, all right, Adrian Peterson, you're old now. Sit down and just here, Darius, guys, take 20 carries a game and 5 catches. That's just not how it's going to be. And especially once Chris Thompson gets back, there's just so many mouths to feed on an offense that does not produce. Dwayne Haskins has yet to throw a touchdown. Yep. And the team itself only has 2 rushing touchdowns all year. Like this team doesn't score. They don't do anything on offense. And then you're going to take a guy who only has a marginal part of that. Like, I'm sorry. That does not excite me. The player is good. The situation is not. Now, looking at the wide receivers, Deebo Samuel, wide receiver for the 49ers. He's being targeted in waivers because when Emmanuel Sanders went out last week, Deebo became the top guy for Jimmy G. I mean, he had 8 catches on 11 targets for 112 yards after Emmanuel Sanders left with the rib injury.
And he looked great, too.
Yeah.
Man. Like, he was electric out there.
This is the guy who that they drafted out of South Carolina, who's, you know, just a top draft pick, a very good player, someone they were very excited to get out there on the field, and he's looked the part. The whole matter of this is, will Emmanuel Sanders be healthy enough to play? And if he plays, how does that affect Deebo?
I love his name. It's
Deebo.
The best. It makes me think of
That's
Friday.
That's my bike.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, and I mean, he's also so talented. You know, you watch him play, and he got them so many like close key first downs throughout the game that you were like, damn, again. Like, it was really impressive.
If Emmanuel Sanders is out, Deebo is an absolute start. If you need someone to start at the wide receiver position, if he's in, I would just say, listen, temper your expectations. Okay. Don't get overly excited about Deebo. It's 1 week out of the season that he really, you know, put it all together. But he is a nice guy to stash because you don't know what's going to happen. This Emmanuel Sanders rib injury, this is something that could reoccur, especially with the ribs. Once like there's any kind of fracture or pain with that, it can always recur when they're out there playing again. So Deebo is a good guy to stash on your bench moving forward. Now, our tight end of the week, Kyle Rudolph.
Rudy.
Kyle Rudolph. The reason that he's getting picked up is, I mean, not just because of the buys, but he's had 3 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's becoming exactly what Darren Fells is, which is just basically three catches, three touchdowns, essentially. Like that's what Kyle Rudolph has become. He's very touchdown dependent. He does have a good matchup this week, but I mean, do you really think that this is something that's sustainable going forward? No.
I don't, but at the same time, because tight end is such a bad position, I would certainly, if I don't have one of those top six guys, I certainly would add.
Yeah, you take a flyer on him.
Yeah,
right?
I like him more than Darren Fells right now, to be honest. You know, I
mean, ooh, okay, interesting.
Yeah, because you know, as long as Thielen's out anyway, you know, I will keep playing.
Yeah,
Rudolph
once Thielen's back, right? Let's say Thielen is back, you're there in the playoffs, and your tight end was Austin Hooper, right?
Yeah.
Let's say you have Thielen back, healthy Vikings, and healthy Texans. Who are you starting, Darren Fells or Kyle Rudolph?
If Thielen's back, I think it'd be a coin flip. Honestly, I think I'd feel better about Darren Fells. Wait a second.
Wait a minute.
I just thought about something. The Texans don't have a good schedule rest of season.
Right.
They have a pretty bad one. So just off of that alone, I think maybe Rudolph could be the better choice here.
Yeah, I think that even with both those guys, like, these are desperation tight end plays. Like, hopefully you can do better out there at tight end. The one thing that does bother me, if I'm going out there and spending any kind of fab dollars or using my waiver wire pickup on Kyle Rudolph, is that he's got a bye coming up. I hate that. When you go out there and you pick up a guy, and especially right now, like, I have Dalvin Cook, and I am so scared because I need every single win that I can get to make the playoffs. And Dalvin's going to be out next week. So it's just you don't want to waste your money, waste your pick, whatever it might be, on guys that aren't going to be playing if you're going into the playoffs and trying to get every single win possible. Now, let's take a look at the waste management.
Yep. So, guys, I've got a few disappointing players to talk about, and they just happen to be on Alfredo's team.
Yeah, okay. Oh, thanks.
I'll start over. So, I've got a few guys for you that are just not doing it for us. And the first couple just happened to be on Alfredo's team.
How nice of you.
Yeah, we're
let me know what I should do.
So these guys
is depressing.
These guys are David Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster.
Ugh.
Terrible. Did you start Juju this week?
No, I did not.
Nice move. So this is exactly what you need to do, guys. You need to not start these guys because they will not give you fantasy points. They will disappoint you over and over and over again. So,
but I'm at the point where it's not only that I don't want to start them, and this might be just an overreaction. If David Johnson has another bad week and Juju's obviously been having bad weeks, like, I'm at the point where I'm almost ready just to drop them because it's not like they're a handcuff. And it's not like, I mean, there's nothing there. David Johnson doesn't look good. Juju has not produced with Mason Rudolph. I'm never going to feel comfortable starting either one of them. Maybe I'm even, it's crazy, but maybe I'm even considering dropping one of them for someone with a good fantasy playoff schedule.
I don't blame you. I mean, I just did it with Kyler Murray, right? Like, I dropped Kyler and I added Derek Carr because he has a good schedule. Like, I totally agree. I think that these guys, you know what? I don't have the guts to drop David Johnson. I have him and I'm not dropping him. I'm keeping him on my bench. And I'm hoping that, you know, that this Cardinals offense just tightens up and fixes their issues and David comes back to doing what he does. I don't think that he is worth a drop. I think that the upside is still there.
For David, I think it is. And okay. I kind of agree with you. I'm worried. I'm annoyed. Yeah. But if there's no Kenyon, like, let's say Kenyon Drake goes down, David Johnson still holds value.
Yeah, yeah. And even if he doesn't, he holds value. And obviously running back's a lot more scarce. So, you know, you can't treat Juju and David the same in that sense. But would I drop Juju? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I'm looking at our league right now.
Yeah.
And let's take a look at some of these names. Would you drop Juju for this guy?
Okay.
Okay. Auden Tate.
No.
You wouldn't. You would keep. So Juju or Auden Tate?
First of all, are you saying you need to start a wide receiver?
No, I'm saying that. So it's not that I need.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm ever going to look and be like, okay, out of my lineup, Juju seems like the best play this week.
Yeah. So if we're talking about starting or not starting, I would certainly take Auden Tate. But Juju still has the potential upside that he could bounce back, similar to David Johnson. So I don't think I would drop him for Auden Tate.
What about Kenny Stills? He's got a if your championship is week 16, he's going up against the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, dude, but it's Kenny Stills, you know? Like,
this is a fair point being made.
Yeah, it's Kenny Stills.
He's Kenny Stills.
He's you know, Will Fuller's back. I wouldn't do it for Kenny Stills. But I would do it for the next guy we're going to talk about, which I would just bring up now. I would certainly drop Juju for Mike Williams.
And he's right there on our waiver wire.
Oh, you're
right. So I might consider him. I was actually about to say his name next.
Oh, really? Yeah. I would definitely drop Juju for Mike Williams. Mike Williams is the same boom-bust profile Juju's going to get. Juju's getting low volume just like him. But I think Mike Williams has more upside. He's been unlucky with the touchdowns. So, yeah, I probably would for Mike Williams.
Yeah, I think the big thing when you're looking at guys like a Mike Williams or a Juju Smith-Schuster, it's not necessarily – yes, you do obviously have to have some take some solace in the production they've had throughout the season, but you got to look at their quarterback going forward, because a receiver's success oftentimes is directly tied to the success of the quarterback. Who is more likely to play better? Phillip Rivers, Mason Rudolph, right? Like, yeah. Who is more likely to have a multi-touchdown game? Every single week, you're going to say Phillip Rivers.
Yep.
So even though, like, we're about to say that Mike Williams, he's the fifth option for the Chargers.
Yeah.
Like, he's behind Gordon, Eckler, Keenan Allen, Hunter Henry.
Yep.
That's still the fifth option on the Chargers might still be better than, what is Juju, the third option maybe now on the Steelers? With
something
Mason
like
Rudolph
that.
Throwing the ball?
Yeah, and he's drowned out by Washington and Johnson, Deontay Johnson, you know, so... Yeah, first of all, we don't even know if Mason Rudolph is going to play because of what happened at the end of the Cleveland game. So
right.
It may be even worse. Or honestly, it can't get worse.
Roger Goodell's just going to come in swinging helmets at him in practice.
Yeah, maybe they'll finally let your boy be the starting quarterback.
Your boy.
Could
you imagine that? Jalen Samuels throwing passes to himself and then throwing passes to James Conner?
I would love it. I would love it.
Oh, it'd be magical. Beautiful.
So Mike Williams also droppable.
Unless of course you have Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Then he's addable.
Exactly.
And startable.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I would say so. So other guys to just drop are Todd Gurley handcuffs.
Oh wait, really quick. Da-da-da-da. Little breaking news action. Ty Johnson has been cleared from concussion protocol.
Oh my God. Are you kidding me?
So your boy, Ty Johnson, ready to go for this week.
Is he
playable?
I spent money on J.D. McKissick in a few places. That is so annoying.
It's really frustrating, isn't it?
Oh, my God, man.
Because it's not like Ty Johnson has been good when he's played. You know that he still has not, at least in the last, four games that he's come out and been the starter, he has not had more than 29 yards rushing.
Yeah, he's been really bad. It's so annoying, too, because, like, the whole Detroit backfield, I've spent so much free agency money, like, on Ty Johnson and now J.D. McKissick, and they've both been for naught.
All right, let's do this. A little triple Johnson here. Ty Johnson, David Johnson, Duke Johnson. You have to start one this week. Who is it?
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
Which Johnson? Johnson and Johnson and Johnson.
Who's Duke Johnson playing?
Duke Johnson is going up against, I can tell you this right now, because he's on my team. Going up against Baltimore.
You know what? It really doesn't matter. I'd play Duke Johnson over them regardless.
Just because of the receiving factor.
Yeah,
So, but just to clarify, this is in a PPR league.
Yeah. Yeah, like Duke Johnson, he's going to get 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, catches, and he'll get, you know, 5 or less carries. And that, I trust that much more than I trust David Johnson right now.
Or Ty Johnson, for that matter.
Ty Johnson, he's just probably never going to produce.
Any of the Johnsons.
Yeah.
Now, some guys that you weren't too keen, and you love handcuffs, so this is surprising that these handcuffs are on our list, Pubs.
Yeah, Todd Gurley's handcuffs, don't add them. Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson. Daryl Henderson looks sexy on that field, I'll admit. He's really, man, he looks great, like, wow. He just cuts right through those.
Do you need to be left alone?
Honestly, Daryl Henderson, he's a stud, but he's just never going to get the touches. So, yeah, between him and Malcolm Brown, they cannibalize each other. Let go of them. Add other handcuffs.
Cannibalize?
Yeah. They
literally eat each other.
Yeah, so don't even bother holding those guys. Next, we have Kalen Garbage.
Garbage. This is our second week in a row talking about Kalen. Third week?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like we just crap on Kalen Ballage every week.
Yeah, and he also like
craps himself on the Dolphins.
Exactly. And he just
craps in his pants. Like, he's just awful.
Yeah, he sucks. He's really bad.
Like, that is our analysis up on our board right here. He sucks.
Literally. Yeah.
He's got 2.1 yards per carry this season. He ranks dead last among running backs with at least 10 touches. You know how hard that is? You know how hard that is to get the work that he's getting and just 2.1 yards per carry?
So worse than Joe Mixon.
You could literally just trip forward and maybe get more than 2 yards per carry.
Like Joe Mixon, worse than him with efficiency. Ronald Jones,
worse than Ronald Jones
with efficiency. Like, he's just the worst in the league. That is atrocious. Mr. Dodgeball himself.
I wouldn't be surprised, and this might be a name to hold on to if you're super desperate, is Patrick Laird. He is the backup to the backup to the backup.
Who?
Exactly. Patrick Laird. Okay? And we're in Miami. So, Patrick Laird, he's a guy that he only had 5 carries last week. He got himself a nice catch. Pablo, I ask you, go look at the Patrick Laird highlight of him getting a nice first down. He takes a nice little swing pass, more of like a little out route from him from the running back position. Takes that, runs up field, and just absolutely destroys a defensive back that's out there. And he looked a lot better than Kalen Ballage. Those of you who went out and put money on Kalen Ballage, you might as well just drop him now, because there's not a way that I see Kalen Ballage taking over this role for the Dolphins. And if anything, I think that he might get benched and just relegated to the sideline for a guy like Patrick Laird or Miles Gaskin or whenever Mark Walton comes back. Like, it's just, Kalen Ballage is awful.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better.
That's all you could say at that point. Kalen Ballage is trash.
Yes, he's garbage.
Our last guy on this, Kalen Garbage. Yeah. Our last guy on this list here is Sony Michel.
Yeah.
You see how I worked the dodgeball reference in?
That was
next level stuff right there.
I see what you did there.
You're welcome.
That was great.
You're welcome, audience.
Yep, he doesn't even fall in the end zone anymore. He's just useless. Sony Michel, unless you have...
Yeah, can you believe it? He didn't score any points last week.
Damn.
They were on a bye.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, that's... I was like...
So was David... But you know what? He did better than David Johnson.
Oh, man. Okay.
He did better than David Johnson's -1.
Yep. So, he's... Sony Michel, I would consider dropping him if you really need someone else that's out there. He's
maybe like a, he reminds me a lot of David Johnson in this, but for two different reasons. Sony doesn't get the receiving work David Johnson does. Right now it's a running back by committee, but if there's no James White, they're not going to give all the touches to Rex Burkhead, right? Like, if James White goes down with an injury, it's Sony's ball.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm
but as
you.
Long as they're all three healthy, like, he's not startable any week.
Agreed. Obviously, if you have a hole at running back because of buys or whatever, then yeah, sure. But otherwise, nah.
All right, let's jump in to our questions. You guys get to ask the tank. All right, so Pablo, let's take a look. I want you to pick 3 out of these 4 players. Yep. All right. Ronald Jones. Ugh. James White. Brian Hill. Christian Kirk. Who are you taking out of that?
I mean, Brian Hill, come on. James White, come on.
So you're saying those guys are in?
Those guys are definitely in.
So then it's between Nojo and Captain Kirk.
Yeah, and the context for this question, is it just playing them this week?
Just this week.
Okay, then yeah. I mean, I hate Ronald Jones, but I'm going to take Ronald Jones as well. So that leaves Christian Kirk as the guy who I would not pick.
And I don't want to answer this question because it means that I would have to agree with putting Ronald Jones into a lineup.
I just did it and it was very painful.
Yeah, I'm looking at your face. It looks gross. It looks awful. And I don't want to say it, but yes, I would agree with you 1,000% on that. I'm not comfortable playing Christian Kirk this week, so you can sit him out of your lineup. The next one, Pablo, pick 2. Kenny Galladay versus Dallas. Tyler Boyd versus Oakland or Stephon Diggs versus Denver.
Dang, this is
rough. So take one out.
Yeah, this is rough. But I guess the easy one is Tyler Boyd versus Oakland. He's a good player, good matchup. Like that,
right.
that's a given. So then you're choosing between Diggs versus Denver and Galladay versus Dallas. And Diggs has just been shut out, even with Thielen out. Over the past few games, and Denver is a really tough matchup. So by default, Diggs is in a really bad situation, but then you look at Galladay, and he's got What's the quarterback's name?
Jeff Driscoll.
Jeff Driscoll. I keep forgetting that quarterback's name. He's got Jeff Driscoll. So that's the issue on that side, because Dallas is okay, I guess, as a matchup.
So to me, the big problem here with those two players is they're going one-on-one against two very good corners. You got Kenny Golladay going up against Byron Jones, who, I mean, he's the one that shut down Diggs the week before.
Yep.
And then now you've got Stephon Diggs going up against Chris Harris in Denver.
Yeah.
So, listen, it kind of comes down to who do I think is the better corner and who has shut down more receivers. And at that point, I think that Chris Harris has been the better corner for Denver. I think that Stephon Diggs will continue to show that he's not the number one receiver on that team. He's not going to produce. For that, I got to go with Golladay and Boyd out of those three.
Yep. And for me, I care less about how good the corner is, and I care more about how good the player is. And I think Golladay, you know what? They're actually very similar.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, talent-wise, I think Diggs is incredibly talented.
Yeah, they are.
Incredibly talented. But for some reason, it's not getting put together.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a really hard decision, but I think I'm also taking Golladay. Diggs, his look, three catches, like, that's terrifying. And that's what we saw last week. So,
all right, pick one quarterback: Drew Brees versus Tampa, or Deshaun Watson going against Baltimore.
This one hurts because I have Deshaun, and I'm starting him everywhere that I can. And I think I'm taking Drew Brees here. The Bucks, they're second.
They are awful.
Yeah. So just from by default, you got to take Drew Brees.
Yes. To me, it's actually, it sounds weird saying this in reference to Deshaun Watson, but I think it's a no-brainer on this.
Yeah.
You start Drew Brees against Tampa. I mean, I don't think you have two bad weeks in a row from Drew Brees, and he's going up against an opponent that's just, they're so quarterback friendly.
Swiss cheese.
Yeah, it's almost too easy. Pops, we brought up this guy earlier, Jay Ajayi.
Trash.
Being asked, is he worth a stash heading into the fantasy playoffs?
100% no.
100% no.
Yes.
Whew.
Eagles running backs are useless unless they're like, no.
Because there's no guarantee that he's even the handcuff.
Yeah, yeah. And
handcuff.
Like, how healthy is Jordan Howard really, even if he's completely out?
Right.
You know, you've got Miles Sanders, who's probably going to get worked in more. I don't view Jay Ajayi as some sort of a league winner at all. And Jay Ajayi is not very good. So all of it together, his knees might break. Like,
yeah.
Nah.
All right, Bob's, we got a trade question here. Do you trade Travis Kelce and Philip Lindsay, and in return you receive Darren Waller and Mark Ingram?
That's hard without the context of whether or not you need a running back, but I would say no to this. I think that Travis Kelce is a god, and he's just like, you shouldn't get rid of Kelce for Waller. They're not comparable. I think, yeah, Waller is a top tight end, but the drop off between Waller and Casey is huge. Waller and Kelce, excuse me, is huge. And Lindsay and Mark Ingram are comparable as well.
So. Yeah, I was actually surprised to see how well Philip Lindsay's been doing this year, because I didn't think he was playing that well. And then I looked, and he's RB13 on the season right now in PPR format.
Really?
I was not expecting that. So to me, like, that kind of puts Philip Lindsay in a whole new light. I was already leaning more towards the keeping Travis Kelce. But seeing how well Philip Lindsay has been doing, even with the split time, even with the bad offense over in Denver.
Yeah.
He's still a very, very startable running back every week. He's an RB2. Wow. And Travis Kelce, I mean, he might be the best tight end in fantasy football right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So especially with Mahomes back. So, I mean, I'm always a proponent of, you want to have the best player in any trade. Travis Kelce, to me, is that best player. And the only way that you'd trade that best player away is if you were upgrading at the running back position. I don't know that Mark Ingram is an absolute upgrade over Philip Lindsay in a PPR format.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm just still shocked.
You're still shocked about the Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. So
yeah, it totally surprised me. Now our next one, Pobs. This is kind of icky, but I think we both agree on this. Do you start Devontae Parker versus Buffalo or Marquise Brown versus Houston?
Ugh. So I really like Devontae Parker rest of season. I think that with Fitzmagic, he's going to get his. And I'm not a fan of Doo Doo Brown. So, you know, if I had to choose, you know, I would love to choose Devontae. But the reality is that Dudu Brown is playing against Houston, and that's a much better matchup. Yeah, so Devontae is going to be playing Buffalo. And what are you showing me here?
I'm showing you that Philip Lindsay is actually running back 13.
That's nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bananas.
I'm really, banana nuts. Really shocked. Wow, yeah. That's impressive.
I did not expect that.
So, yeah, moral of the story, Dudu Brown is a better choice. Devontae Parker's playing Buffalo. I forget who their corner is.
Tre'Davious White.
Oh, man, how did I forget that? Yeah, so Dudu Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say Marquise Brown going into this game, even with the injury, I just think that literally any receiver is going to be better than Devontae Parker this week, not because of his own talent, but because going up against Tre'Davious White is just an absolute horrible matchup for him. Last question is, you got to pick one of these to flex. Robbie Anderson, Darius Geis, or Duke Johnson. Who do you flex this week in a PPR format?
This is terrible, but I would take Dookie for sure.
To me, it's almost easy. It's easy, Duke Johnson, because he's got some guaranteed passing work as the pass-catching running back in that offense from Deshaun Watson. He's going to get 3, 4, 5 catches. Like, I can't even say that Robbie Anderson, as the starting wide receiver for the Jets, will get 3 or 4 catches.
Agreed.
That's agreed. Bad. Darius Geis, we haven't seen him play, so we don't know what's going to happen. To me, it's a no-brainer. Duke Johnson out of those three.
Yep.
Not even a second thought about that. All right, guys, that's all for us for today. Listen, for updates, analysis, and all of our episodes, you can find them on our Twitter, Instagram. Head on over to our social media feeds at the FF Tank on both of those platforms.
Woo!
Yes, very exciting. Once you follow us on social media, please go and subscribe to the podcast. Whichever app you're using to listen right now, subscribe. Once you finish with this episode, go and subscribe, follow the podcast, rate the podcast, leave us a comment in there, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Overcast, Google, iHeartRadio, use them all. Okay. Please share the show with your friends, your league mates. It means so much to us. For Mark and Pablo Martinez, Mark Denton, I'm Alfredo Brown. Until next week, we're out.
Ciao.